Take a look at your sermon notes to Ephesians chapter 5. We have been studying chapter 5 for some time now, and we are on a particular series now, which I'm calling the Family Series, because we are discussing the responsibilities of husbands and wives and children and fathers. And let's read our text today in Ephesians 5 in verse 23. For the husband is the head of the wife. And you know, husband is related to the word for farmer, a vine dresser, husbandry. We think of as farming. And so the husband is somebody that's responsible for the vineyard, for the growth of the vineyard. So you're getting an idea of the husband's role, see. It's not a passive role, is it? For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word, that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Lord, bless the preaching of Thy holy Word. We believe it's inspired, preserved, sufficient to meet our every need, God. You are the King of kings and Lord of lords, and we do thank You for this day, for this church, and for the Word of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week we noticed that the word Savior here, the only time in the New Testament, is a lowercase s, and we notice that it specifically here has reference to the husband in the home. And he is to follow the example of Christ. As the Lord is the capital S Savior, He is to be the Savior in the home. Not to die for the sins of the world or to atone for the sins of the wife, but to deliver, rescue, preserve, as we see throughout the Bible. We noticed last week that the first time the word Savior occurs in the Bible, it is rescuing, saving from violence, particularly physical violence. It was a salvation from enemies who would do harm. Thus, we noticed last week and spent some time on the role of the husband as the physical protector. This week, we're going to look at the role of the husband as the spiritual protector. And, you know, you can come to the Lord Jesus, and one of His benefits that the Lord says that we better not forget, the Bible says that we should not forget any of His benefits, that we should remember all of them. And the first benefit it lists, of course, is forgiveness of sins. So there are spiritual benefits. Now, the Lord also goes on to say that He gives us physical benefits. He heals our diseases. He gives us good things to eat. All these types of things. So, the Lord is a spiritual Savior, but He's also a physical Savior. And a man cannot save physically like the Lord could save. But there is a responsibility, a realm where the man can protect from enemies, rapists, burglars, that type of thing that would do harm to the wife and to the children. Wild beasts and all types of things. And we also see that there is a way that husbands can be spiritual protectors. Certainly not in the capacity or way that the capital S Savior can be a spiritual protector. But nevertheless, there is a realm that the man does have a responsibility to be a spiritual protector. And we will explain that as we go. In dealing with a physical protector, the Bible says a strong man armed keepeth his palace or keepeth his home. And it's very important, as we see, a man is to keep his home in order. He is to keep his home in peace. He is to protect his home. He is to be equipped and ready and able to protect his home. I like the gentle, kind pilgrims who, when they came to America and the Indians came up upon them, they were so kind and sweet, but nevertheless they got their shotguns out and they said, "Excuse me, but thou art standing where I am about to shoot." And I thought that sweet of the pilgrims to be so kind and polite, but to let them know that they're about to shoot where you are standing. And what a good balance they had between protecting their home, but being godly and Christian in the way that the Lord wants us to be in peace. God says in the Bible, where it's possible, as much as lieth in you, try to dwell in peace. But sometimes in perilous times, it's not possible. Praise God, they were able to get along at that time. And the Indians and the pilgrims were able to sit down and enjoy meals together. And the Lord had wiped out with the disease some of the more dangerous Indians at the time. And God had prepared for the coming of the pilgrims. But let's move on today. Let me say one more thing before we move on from physical protection. In regard to physical protection, men should not take a back seat to the physical health of their family. A man that would say, I'll roll up my sleeves and risk my life to protect my wife from a rapist or a murderer who kicked open my door. The same type of man should not take a back seat when companies who want to make money are destroying the food supply and bringing rotten things into the home that will chemically bring cancer and all types of diseases. We should not have men taking a back seat. Oh, I don't care if you kill my wife with cancer, but just don't kick open my door. Is that ridiculous? It's absurd, isn't it? But this is what's happening. I get letters, questions from around the country, from around the world. And many times, women are complaining that men are passive when it comes to health. That they are bringing a lot of opposition, and instead of leading the home in the realm of nutrition and health, they are on the back seat. And maybe that comes from the good old boy, you know, he's hot and he's sweaty, and certainly he doesn't want to eat bunny food. And I can understand that. And sometimes we got this mentality that to be healthy, you have to eat like a rabbit. But that's not Bible, you understand? You need more vegetables, you need more greens and that type of thing. But my point is simply this. If we will be biblically healthy and stay away from the chemicals and mess that these companies are putting upon food and they are killing people today, I believe men ought to, instead of taking a back seat, they ought to be leading the way in their homes. And the American diet is something that you need to protect your family from. And as well as rapists and murderers, that American diet also will kill people and kill your children, rot their teeth out. And we need to do what we can to protect ourselves from it. Now, this is part of the husband's role. The Bible said the wife gets her food from afar if she's virtuous, which means that she goes to extra trouble to make sure she gets the best food for her home. And the Bible says she was a good wife to do so. So if you are a husband who has a good wife, then we need to bless them and help them and encourage them in this endeavor and not hinder them in that endeavor. But moving on today, according to the Word of God, it's not just in physical things, but also in spiritual things that the husband is to be the protector and defender. Why should the husband protect and defend the home physically and spiritually? One reason is the role God gave him. The second reason is it says that he is to cherish. His responsibility is to nourish and cherish the wife. You protect whatever you love. You defend whatever you love. And husbands are to love their wives in a special way the Lord loved the church. And the Lord cherishes the church. It's His institution. It was His plan. It was His idea. It's His people that are gathered together in obedience to Him, faithful to Him. And the Lord loves the church and cherishes it. And as the husband cherishes his wife and cherishes his children, then you're going to defend them because you cherish them. You are going to protect them because you cherish them. You are going to keep them from evil and from poison and from things that are going to harm them because you love them and because you cherish them. And it's important that even though sometimes it can be, it can appear to be hard when you're loved. When a father loves a son and says, no son, you're not going to go with that crowd, it can be burdensome to the son. But also, if the son is wise, and certainly as he gets older, he'll look back and realize, my father loved me. Even as little children, I've found, when children are not being properly rebuked and loved and controlled, and another adult will walk up and control that child, you will find the child a few minutes later saying, I like you. You're my friend. What is it? There's something natural in the child to recognize, when you give me boundaries, that is love. If a little child can recognize love in that, how much more can adults recognize it? So, we just need to understand, it's part of your love for the wife to protect and defend and make sure that she is not harmed physically or spiritually. Of course, being the savior of the body and the wife, being bone of our bone, flesh of our flesh, coming out of man and being linked to the man in holy matrimony in a spiritual way, he that loveth his wife loveth himself. We see this in the Word of God. But the man certainly cannot atone for his wife's sins. The wife is to have a spiritual, personal relationship with God. She's not to say, well, my husband handles the religion and I don't pray to Jesus. I have no personal relationship. That's ridiculous. So we don't mean that the man is the mediator between God and man for the wife. We don't mean that. But when we say that the husband is the spiritual protector, here's what we do mean. That the husband has a special role to watch over his wife and children so that they are protected from error. And you say, well, where will error come from? Do you know there are wolves? That there are devils? Do you know the Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers? In other words, there are devils that will come and attack the family, and they will use whatever means will be a vessel for them. False teachers, false preachers, media, all types of things these devils get control of. And wherever they can find something that they can make subservient, something that will be passive enough to let them control it, they will, like a parasite, will get on that vessel. Whether it's a television program, whether it's some book or novel, whether it's some man knocking on the door, somebody on Facebook, some email, some website, whatever it is, these parasites will ride through that, and the devil will try, just like he used the serpent in the Garden of Eden, just like the devil used whatever he could, and God cursed the serpent because it was a vessel of the devil. And I'm going to tell you something. A man needs to stand up and be watchful in his home. He needs to watch out how the devil's trying to get in and get a hold of his wife or get a hold of his children. And he needs to stand up and watch and make sure he protects his family from that type of thing. It's the truth that my grandpapa came home one day and found out that there were JWs in his home, and he kicked them out physically, literally, outside the door. Literally, on the street. But they kept coming back like parasites. Like ticks jumping off trees. They kept coming back. And you need to understand that the devil's not going to give up easy. The Bible says if you resist him, he'll flee. But it has to be a manly resistance with the power of God. You understand? It can't be some passive, half-hearted resistance. I do not mean to imply today that the husband is always right. There have been some times when men have been brutish and foolish and profane. But even when disobedient, 1 Peter 3 shows that husbands, while you can't follow them in sin, or sin because they command it, that nevertheless that your obedience will help win the disobedient husband. But as I have pastored for many, many years, I have seen that oftentimes when men go to get excited about their home, I've had folks that have come here and wanted to come to church and been so excited, and the man says, this is what I've been looking for all my life. And he starts of getting excited about it. And then all of a sudden, there have been women that understand what it means to come here. They realize that they're not going to watch primetime TV in the home. That pretty soon the man's going to get convicted and he's going to cut that mess off. And they start reading. They see the writing on the wall. And they start grabbing him by the nose and saying, uh-uh, we're not going there. And so I get the old phone call. What's going on, man? Oh, well, things just aren't going good, you know. Well, I thought you liked the church. I thought you said this is exactly what your family needed. And you hear that silence and you hear, yeah, but... And then you hear a whisper. It's the wife. She's mad. She's afraid if I come here that we're not going to have the TV in the home anymore. And I say, well, man, you got to do what's right. You got to do what's right. And you might see them down the road. They don't even have a home. The number of men that I've dealt with over the years told them specifically, according to the Word of God, not my prophecy, but according to the Holy Spirit, Word of God, here's what He says to do for your home and you'll save your home. And I've seen these men lose their homes one by one because they said, I don't have to protect my family. She can go work at a wicked place and it doesn't matter. I don't have to protect my family. The devil can't get a hold of her. I said, you're a fool. You're sure acting like a fool. It's the truth, folks. Are we listening today? Because you know what I found out? I found out that I can get here and sweat. I can turn red in the face and I can warn you the best that I can warn you. And I might save a lot of you from that type of lifestyle. But you know what? God says you're not going to save everybody. There's going to be people that are going to be headstrong and stubborn. But nevertheless, I used you as a witness. And I don't want to just be used as a witness. I would rather you get convinced of what the Word of God said. But I know, and many times the Lord says, you're my witness. You told them what they needed to hear, and they'll face it at the judgment seat of Christ. But instead of getting discouraged when a man's messed up, he ought to just pull himself up and repent before the Lord Jesus, confess his sins, and say, I messed up, but Lord, I'm not going to do it again. And instead of carrying this thing your whole life, if the Lord hadn't come and you're not dead, you ought to get up and repent and get back in fellowship with God. Y'all listening today? So although men will not always be right, God, by design, has created them to understand danger sometimes, where maybe the wife will not understand the danger. The Bible says that Eve, when she talked to that serpent, she was deceived. The Bible says Adam was not deceived, which means Adam made a willful choice in idolatry to do what he knew was wrong. Do you know many men go dragging along like a puppy dog, understanding that this is wrong and I know it's wrong, but what can I do? And they just throw their hands up, and that's what Adam did. He said, what can I do? She believes it. I'm going to go along with her. And it says, she gave unto her husband and he did eat, which means he allowed her now to be the leader of the home. He said, I will submit unto your leadership. And Adam submitted unto Eve's leadership and she led the home spiritually and said, this is what's best for our family. This is what we're going to do. And Adam says, I'll go along with you even though I know it's wrong. Many times, husbands know because of the way God created them. Just like you as a mother understand certain things that your children don't understand, sometimes a man understands. I've seen quite a few men over the years turn the spiritual leadership over to the wives. They say something to the effect of, she's so gifted in research and she sits on the web all day and I just follow along from one movement to another, from one church to another, and from one adventure to another, you know. Whatever she gets in the mail, I just follow, and she just pretty much leads the way. When she says leave a church, we leave. And when she says we're going to start over at this church over here, we follow, and I just kind of follow along as she searches the web all day because she's gifted. And I say, I don't doubt that your wife may be more gifted in you in research and things like that. But that doesn't mean that you can advocate, that you can leave your responsibility as the head of the home and that you can go fishing. Or you can go sit in front of the TV. Or you can leave the religion to the wife as you simply just follow along and do whatever she says. That's wrong, man, because you're called to stand up and lead the home. We already seen Adam try such a thing. You say, well, I love my wife and that's why I just follow along. But you know what? That's a selfish love. That's a selfish love. You're going to get hurt later by that type of love. And you're going to hurt your children. You're going to hurt your wife. Sometimes men are just lazy. Just as some men today would rather the wife mother him and work for him and take care of him in ways that are not biblical or manly, as we see tons of articles coming out where the man says, it's fun to sit at home and watch TV and be the nanny and allow my wife to go get the corporate job. That's happening all over America, not just in America, it's happening all over the world. So in the same way, men are giving up the spiritual leadership role in the home because they would rather go play with their hobbies. Men today can be like Esau. Do you remember Esau? You had Jacob and whatever faults Jacob had, at least he had a spiritual side. He could have tightened up on his masculinity and that type of thing, but Jacob, being under the skirt of his mama, but he nevertheless had a spiritual side. And he was blessed in that. Do you see that? But Esau, he was the hunter and the smelly one and the one that sweat and the one that went out. But nevertheless, Esau was profane. Why do they call profanity profanity? Because it means that you're not thinking of God. You are living in such a carnal way as if God doesn't exist in your language. We call that profanity. But a life of profanity is a life where a man says, just give me something to eat, give me a hobby, let me go play golf, let me go fishing, let me go hunting, let me play on the computer game, whatever it is, but I don't want a religious life. Y'all listening? I don't want a spiritual side. I'm not interested in church. I tell you what, if you and the kids want to go in the room and pray and do that Bible stuff, that's okay, but I want to deal with the real world. Laziness. I'll let the wife do that. You know, there's churches all across the country where the mama brings the kids to church and the husband stays home. He uses the excuse that he has to work on Sunday, but 9 times out of 10, it's because he tells the boss, I will work on Sunday. Or maybe he doesn't have any backbone to tell the boss, I'm not going to work on Sunday. But whatever the deal is he would rather just tune out like a hippie and say, I want nothing to do with religion. I'll leave that to the children and to mama. Take them to Sunday school if you want. I don't care. Lazy. Wicked. As Esau said, feed me. I don't care about my inheritance. Feed me. I don't care about that religious stuff. As long as men have something to eat today, many of them are fine. Give me a corny dog, put it in a microwave, and I'm fine. Nothing's wrong. They're like Gallio in the book of Acts. In Acts 18, this man said, if it be a question of words and names and of your law, look ye to it, for I will be no judge of such matters. Now I'm going to tell you something. It was a blessing to have a political official who understood that. A political official that knew questions of church and religion and that type of thing, whether baptism is by sprinkling or whether it's through immersion like the word means, you know, you guys go deal with that. We have no say in that. That's right. And that's what we need in this land today, is political officials that say, this is my opinion, but I'm not speaking officially as the state. You understand? But you know what? For a husband to do what Gallio did is a great sin. For a husband to tell his wife, oh, that doctrine stuff, I don't care anything about that. I just want something to eat. Look ye to it. That's a great sin. And husbands are not loving their wives when they are not leading the home and on top of things. Look at 1 Corinthians 14. Let your women keep silence in the churches. It is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law, meaning as also saith the Old Testament. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for women to speak in the church, but it's not a shame for them to speak at home. So what we see here is while the church is gathered together in one place, and everyone present in church in a corporate body, and you're going through the order of the church, women are to be silent as a picture of man holding his peace in the presence of God. But what you also see here is that the man at home is to answer the questions for the wife that she would have raised in church. Which means, while she might have had questions in church while the Word was being preached and taught, she is not to interrupt the church service with her questions, but she is to go home and ask her husband. Now, why would God in His wisdom do this? I believe because now it means the man can't fall asleep during church. You understand? He has to be engaged mentally. And not only that, he has to take an active role now in listening to what was preached and taught. Now, she shouldn't ask some question that is outside of his domain or sphere of understanding. But nevertheless, if she does, he can say, if it's an important enough question, he can say, I don't know, but I'll get back with you. Let me ask the pastor what he meant by that such a thing. And there's nothing wrong with that. But it enables him to be the spiritual leader of his home and the responsible way that God assigned him to be. Matthew Henry put it this way, as it is the woman's duty to learn in subjection, it is the man's duty to keep up his superiority by being able to instruct her. If it be her duty to ask her husband at home, it is his concern and duty to endeavor at least to be able to answer her inquiries. If it be a shame for her to speak in the church where she should be silent, it is a shame for him to be silent when he should speak and not be able to give an answer when she asks him at home. Now, all men are not called to be pastors. All men are not to have the office of a public teacher in the church. There's different gifts. God gives a gift for teaching and that type of thing. But nevertheless, men should be responsible for what they've learned at church. You understand that? And they should be able to explain it back to their wives when they get home. The home devotional or Bible study or prayer time in the home, that would be a good time for these types of questions. Time should be made. And that ought to be a good time. You know, when the pastor said such and such, what exactly did he mean? Were you able to catch what he was saying? And the home, you ought to have home devotions in your home. You ought to have Bible studies in your home. You ought to have a time where you're picking a chapter or a section of the Word of God. And you're feeding upon it. And you're instructing the children, instructing the wife, and you're talking about it and feeding upon it. Let's think for a moment about the role of men as a spiritual protector. What is he protecting her from? The main protection is from deceivers, from wolves. Just as he protects from bad men and physical wolves, if you lived in a place where they were rampant, he also protects from spiritual wolves. A pastor is called to defend and watch and protect spiritually. Because all kinds of people enter in, all types of movements through the internet, people get a hold of all types of things. And a lot of people think they're being independent and they found some little thing. And before you know it, the whole home is shipwrecked. And a pastor could see it. See, he said, I saw that coming. I knew they were going to go off on that thing, that little tangent. But it was just the devil's way of getting them out from under the church. It was just the devil's way of getting them distracted so he could attack. And sure enough, the devil attacks. And it's sad to see. And a pastor is to protect from that type of thing, to warn, to sound the alarm, to blow the trumpet. In the same way, the husband is to watch over his home. So this is God's design, the husband watching over the home, protecting it, making sure deception or distraction doesn't enter in to disrupt the home or disrupt the spirituality of the wife or children. And then as each one of those, as that's happening individually in your home, then we come together as a church. Look at Acts 20. He says, I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. That's why you have pastors. One day I had Seventh-day Adventists. I think I was an assistant pastor, and I had Seventh-day Adventists come to the Bible study. And they were so sweet and so nice, but before I knew it, it was like a pack of wolves. The whole church was being filled with them. And then before I know it, they said, we just come to learn. They had collected everybody. They didn't have email back then, thank God. But they'd had everybody's number and address in the whole church, and they were just going through the whole church. So I ran them off. I ran every one of them off. Ran them off by preaching. You just start preaching truth and they'll run. I didn't have to physically remove anybody. I just said, well, this is what we're going to have. We're going to have Bible studies on this subject for a while. And they left. They weren't about to listen to some of that. But see, you in your home, you can just physically carry them out. And some of them old pastors physically removed a lot of folk. Some of them old Methodists, circuit riding preachers, they'd pick you up and carry you out the door. Look at Hebrews 13. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. In other words, when a pastor sees something and he says, this is what I see, you better make sure you get this straight with your home because you're not obeying it in the Word of God. And they shrug their shoulders and say, it's not going to affect my family. I'm okay. And I say, no, you're not okay. That's what Mr. So-and-so said to me, and he was wrong, and you might be wrong too. So let's obey the Word of God. I'm watching for your soul. Let's do what the Word of God says. And you shrug your shoulders and say, oh, it's not going to affect me. Now I have to have grief. Because I have to think of you now for the rest of my life. If only you would have listened. If only you would have obeyed the Word of God. In the same way, as you are to obey the pastor in things that are his authority, not contrary to your conscience, but you're to be careful with that type of stuff. In the same way, the woman's conscience is not to be overthrown, but nevertheless, she's to use her husband for the position God gave him to watch over the home. Look at 2 Timothy 3, for of this sort are they, which creep into houses and lead captive, not wise women, but silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts. Do you know any wise woman can become a silly woman? It can happen if you allow foolishness to enter your home. So do you see that there's enemies that'll creep into the house? Do you see why pastors must watch and make sure that foolish deceivers are not creeping into home? Do you see why husbands are to watch and make sure their own homes are not destroyed by deceivers that have come in? Do you know, I can name right now, just thinking, two homes in a 20-year period that I know of that they allowed what they thought was a righteous man or woman in their home, and it ended up being a deceiver who the whole time undermined and wrecked the home. I can think of two right now, just at the top. And if I sat here long enough, I can think of others. You got to watch who you bring into your home. I'm not saying don't be hospitable. But you have to watch what's going on in your home. Do you understand that? This is how the devil works. The Bible said we're not ignorant of his devices. As Satan crept into the garden and deceived Eve, so do many deceivers deceive today. And the type of thing you were to watch for is how the devil operated. The devil with Eve in paradise. No mosquitoes, no ticks, no bugs. Good temperature. Not too hot, not too cold. No thorns, no stickers. Do you know in that paradise of paradises, all the most beautiful chemical-free foods you could eat? It was organic! Do you know that Eve was convinced by the devil that she's miserable and oppressed? God had given her all these things. They said, that one tree don't touch. The devil used that one command, or that one tree don't eat. The devil used that one command to say, how miserable you are. God's holding something back. You could be as a God if you would just eat of that tree, but you're burdened, you're vexed, you're oppressed. And she believed it. They call it the happy days of the 1950s when women had gone back home after the war. And now you had brownies and nice home-cooked meals and the children were riding their bikes in nice little neighborhoods. They call it the happy days now. There was some sin among it. There were some bad things. The devil's trying to destroy it. But nevertheless, it was wholesome when Mama had come back home and the family was the way the family should be, and the communists could not stand it. So they financed Betty Friedan to write that book, The Feminine Mystique. And Betty Friedan basically said in her book, you housewives are miserable. Look at you sitting here. You're oppressed. You have to cook and iron and do all of these things. And these bratty kids you have to be with all day. Wouldn't it be so much better if we have an institutional daycare and you put these little hoodlums inside public school and daycare or whatever it might be and get them out from under you and you go have a real job where you could be as gods. And a lot of women believed it. A lot of women said, I am oppressed. So the 60s, you had this great feminist movement where they said, we're not going to be housewives. We're not going to be mothers. And then you had the great divorces of the 70s. And then you had the great homosexual movement of the 80s and 90s that came from divorced homes. Do you see all this as plain as can be? Do you see how the devil got the women of America? Do you see he used the exact same devices or techniques that he used with Eve originally in the garden? And do you see as a man why it's very important that you cannot just sit down in front of primetime television and allow them to operate upon your family? Because I've told you over and over again, and I'm going to keep telling you, that there is hardly a television show in America where the man is not the great evil and he has some type of authority. They show him to be a hypocrite. He has commands for the children. He has a way he's ruling his home. And he's a hypocrite. He's really a child molester or a murderer or a wife beater. And they demonize him. They make the man and the father look really bad. And write down whether it's Bambi from a Wonderful World of Disney that says, you will find yourself when you disobey your father. In the Benji shows where the little dog, oh how cute, send your child to the Benji. But the whole show is around the father who is wrong because of his commands. And the little child finds himself when he disobeys the father. I tell you, whether it's Bambi or Benji, you take a look at these primetime television shows, please don't. But I'm telling you right now, the man of the home is demonized. And I don't see how any woman could sit down in front of that mess and not walk away saying, I'm miserable, I got a wicked husband and I hate him, and I will find salvation when I free myself from this yoke. And men sitting back saying, what happened? I had a beautiful family. I was going to work. Everything was great. We had a few arguments, but I had a nice home. I had two cars. Everything was great. How did I lose my family, Pastor? TV. That's one way. Because there's deceivers that come through those shows. Do you think they sit back and want to entertain people in America? You're out of your mind if you think that people are not going to use that to bring forth their political agendas. And there is a political agenda in America to destroy the family and make people dependent upon the state. Because they want you to trust the experts in Hillary Clinton's village. Just read It Takes a Village and you will understand everything. They want the home where the husband is not trusted. They would prefer him to not even be there. And what happens is the expert is the authority in that home. That's who the mother says, what should we do? Should we vaccinate? Should we do this? Should we do that? They want that expert to come into the home and be the one you rely upon. It's the great communist empire. What am I saying? I'm saying, who's talking to your wife while she's at work? That's what I'm saying. And if you don't think the devil has plans, you're wrong. Somehow or another, Eve was a victim of that serpent. And preachers long ago said Adam was there to keep the garden. I don't know what type of tools he needed at that time to keep that garden, but he had some work to do. Whatever work of hoeing he had to do, he should have brought his hoe and said, what in the world are you doing talking to my wife and what are you telling her? And he should have ran the serpent off. And maybe the wife would have said, well, that was very mean. He was a nice serpent. I'll deal with that later. But he's going to get out of here. Well, what did you see in that preacher? He seemed like a very nice preacher. He talked sweet, not like that Pastor Joey. He makes you feel good. I always get a good feeling when I leave there. And the man stands up and says, no more. He's a deceiver. A lot of men say, I can trust my wife. Can you trust the wolves? Trust your wife, great, but you can't trust the wolves. I've seen men lose their families to wolves. What about the men that say, I can trust my children? There's a Baptist family that said, I can trust my child. We're going to quit homeschooling. Even though we go to a fundamental King James only church, separated, God, we're going to send our child to public school. He's 16, you know, he's all right. I can trust him. The child writes me back and says, I'm now a homosexual. I said, boy, how'd you get to be a homosexual? Growing up in a homeschool family. Separated. Godly. What kind of mess is this, boy? He said, I just met some older boys. And I looked up to them. And they started inviting me over. And they were funny. And they were fun to be around. And before you know it, I'm a homosexual. See, you say you can trust your boy. You can't trust the wolves that are in the public school system. You know, it's getting more and more difficult for the husband to do his job. Perilous times shall come. It's not a time for you to give up. And that's what a lot of men are doing. As I meet them at parks and wherever I'm at, I'm meeting men that say, I just give up, you know. I feel sorry for you. You're going to have teenagers soon. I feel sorry for you because I just give up. No, it's not time to give up. The Lord said in the last days, perilous times shall come. He said there will be many deceivers in the last days. We know the devil and his empire is the prince of the power of the air. He's using the advances in technology to creep into houses and take families spiritually captive. Do you know in the days of Genesis there was a vast technological advance right before God sent the flood? You go back and read about Tubal Cain and read about the inventions. There was a technological revival. There was a great technological advance. And then before you know it, the whole world was filled with violence and wickedness. What were they using that technology for? For good? For wickedness? And do you know that it's probable that devils maybe were behind a lot of it? If the devils weren't behind it, they were at least using it. Do you know that? Do you think things are different today? Do you know you are in a great age of technological advance? Do you know just in my lifetime, there was a time when I was typing things. I have actually typed sermons much the same way as I'm preaching now. I typed them on a typewriter and thought that I was sophisticated. Until somebody gave me one that you could just hit a button and it wipes it out for you. I said, this is incredible. And so then I entered another phase of my ministry. I said, this is great. I can actually type this stuff. If I mess up, I just hit a button and it'll white it out. And then the computer hit. And I'd never seen anything like that. I sat there and did it over and over. I'd type a sentence and then backspace. And then type a sentence and then backspace. I said, anywhere in the paper, anytime I want, I can just delete a whole paragraph. It's great. When I first started preaching, I warned against television in the home. Prime time coming in with all of its philosophies and humanism. And I warned men about that. As I sit here now in 2010, a time that I did not think we would even still be here, as I sit here in 2010 in America today, I have men walking around with televisions in their pockets. Do you understand that things have changed? Do you understand that things have grown increasingly more difficult for you to watch your home? Do you know that the devil could be behind some of this technology? And if he hasn't directly inspired it and showed men how to do it, he's certainly using it. You say, well, I don't believe that. Well, have you ever taken a look at Thomas Edison's card for the Luciferic Society? Do you know that Thomas Edison was a worshiper of Lucifer? He was a member of the Theosophic Society that had a magazine called Lucifer. They believe that they're going to have this great age coming where women are going to switch clothes and start wearing men's clothes, and that we would enter the final age of utopia on earth when Lucifer would come and put his son as the king of all the earth. Do you know Thomas Edison believed all of that? When you think of Tesla and his occultism, when you think of the inventor of the Xerox machine who claimed he used occultism to inspire the photocopy, you say to you, does that make these things satanic? It certainly means that the devil's going to use it. It certainly means that whatever good can come out of it, the devil has his own plans. You say, well, photocopy's been great. I've been able to hand out tracts all over the place. I know. And the fornicators and deceivers have also been able to hand out all their rubbish. So see, this is a war. And I'm just telling you that the devil's working overtime to destroy the family and the souls in America. And he's going to do it through the web, through Facebook, through MySpace, through DVDs, through iPods. If we had to watch our families and men had to stand up and watch a decade ago, what in the world do you think you have to do now? And I'm going to tell you, it's no time to fall asleep. Homes today in America are filled with video games, computer games, videos, DVDs, computer TV, and talking toys. What is all of this stuff saying? What is the message behind all of these things? Have you checked to see what the nice little cartoon video... Have you checked to see the message? I can watch it. That's why nobody comes up and says, hey, this is what we're listening to. It's pretty good. Because you watch it for a couple of seconds and you're like, look at that. They just took the Lord's name in vain. Number two, that's a rock song that's playing in the background. Number three, that guy just rebelled. I'm not saying that you can't find something somewhere wholesome, but you better not get addicted to it. Because you're not going to be able to continue to find things. And what you're going to do, because you got addicted to it, you're going to lower your standards to continue your lifestyle. That's why your children better enjoy hearing stories. You better not ever let them get to a point to where it's no fun now to hear stories and hear the Bible read. You better have them enjoy reading, and you better make sure they have godly books to read with godly stories about children that don't rebel against their parents without getting a whipping for it. There's never been a day like this in history where it was more important for a man to watch his home because of invaders and deceivers. To whatever degree these things are used in your home, there had better be accountability. You understand? If there's no accountability, you are a fool. I'll say it again. If there is no accountability for your child as he uses the internet, you're a fool. I love you, and I said it because I love you. So don't get all huffy with me. Let me say it right. Any man who allows his children to get on the web today without him there watching it, or to allow your child to have a phone that connects to the web without you right there watching him, where your child can get text and he can get pictures and he can get on the web behind your back, you are not doing your job as a man. And I love you, but you are not doing your job. And you're not only cursing your home, you are risking this entire church. The only danger there was when I grew up was some pervert throws a bunch of junk in his dumpster. Do you understand that? But nowadays, children are walking around, I said children, are walking around with the ability to see whatever junk they want to see. So you can destroy their life. Because I'm going to tell you, boys, it will destroy your life. It will bring something upon you you're not going to be able to get rid of easily. It's going to mess up your life, keep you from doing what you need to be doing and what you should be doing and what God wants you to be doing. Any man who allows his children to get on Facebook or YouTube or anything else without him over his shoulder watching what he's doing is a man that's lost his mind. You're just not thinking. You're not thinking. And I'm here to help you think. I don't hate you. I love you. I want you to think. I'm not trying to embarrass you. I don't technically really know if there's anybody in this church that does that, or to whatever degree you do it. I have some ideas. And all I can do is say, I hope that if your child is on Facebook, YouTube, or whatever other mess is out there, my face, Facebook, whatever the mess is, I hope that you are over his shoulder. And even then, I'm not sure what's going to come across. See, you first lose your mind before you lose your children. You get it? You first lose your mind, then you lose your children. It's madness to separate, to homeschool, to move into the country, to get rid of the TV, and then make it so your child can talk and play and view the web. What type of madness is that? And I'm for all of those things. I'm for getting out of these cursed cities. I'm for separating. I'm for removing that primetime junk from your home. I'm for homeschooling and getting out from under state-funded humanist church. I'm for every bit of that. But to do all of that and open the window and allow the serpent to crawl through and have control over your child through Facebook, YouTube, MySpace, whatever it is. Why don't you just move downtown Dallas or Chicago? Well, why don't you just go back to public school? Well, what was the whole point? I don't get it. What was the point? The Bible said your children are arrows that are to be pulled back until they're ready to be released. Aim them and pull them back. And if you're a father who's the savior of the body and you love your children, I know men, I've been door knocking around this neighborhood before. I've seen men that have lost their wives through this mess. There ought to be accountability in your home with husband and wife with this type of thing. How much more so your children? The Bible says a child left to himself brings his mama to shame. And there would be less mothers ashamed if fathers would wake up. You say, I think you're overreacting, preacher. Anybody that can say that today, I don't know what to say to you. I'm dumbfounded. Lord help you. But let me try to sober you up just a little bit, okay? 70% of modern men confess that they view pornography every month. 70% of American men. 29% of the rest are lying. Those are just the ones that admit it. Half of evangelical, those that know you're saved by the blood of Jesus. Half, I'm not talking about the denomination, baby sprinkling, Catholic, you know what, types of folks. I'm talking about evangelical pastors. Half of evangelical pastors in America admit to viewing pornography as an addiction. Are you listening? That's just the ones who will admit it. A law was recently passed to ban lewdness, pornography from government computers because there was an epidemic of government officials, instead of doing their job, viewing pornography. One headline reads, top staffers at the Securities and Exchange Commission spent hours at work looking at pornography on government computers as the economy neared collapse in 2008. Recently, one senator was caught viewing lewd images on his laptop while they were supposed to be having a debate on the abortion bill. But it's worse, because Romans 1 says just before God steps on everything and squashes it, the women have to go bad. And right now, all over the news, there are articles about how women are losing their minds by being addicted to lewd sites on the internet. And the Bible teaches that once the women go bad, that's the final barrier of society, a nation is over. Unless it can somehow revive itself and wake up, and God can cause dead bones, God can cause the corpses to revive, He could put His Spirit in this rotting corpse of America right now and revive it, but you got to get on your face and ask God to do so. You got to repent and touch not the unclean thing. We got to quit making provision for it in our own families. And that's the only way. Otherwise, you'll go the same way as Sodom, who got out of Sodom but lost his entire family. Where are these men's husbands? Where are these women's husbands? Shrugging their shoulders, probably addicted themselves. Do you see the problem in America? They are arguing now that based on recent research, 90% of 18 to 16 year olds have viewed pornography online. 90%. Which means almost every child in America has done so and is currently doing so. Where are our churches? No, let me ask that different. Where are the pastors? Oh, we already found where they're at. Okay, well, where are the fathers? Oh, well, we've already found where they're at too. So we're just going to let our children go to hell? You're just going to let your children be cursed so they can never be content with a marriage for the rest of their life? Not on my watch. Amen, brother. That's what I want to hear. Amen, we better wake up. Amen. The Bible says, make not provision for the flesh. Amen. It said, make not provision for it. Amen. I'm not going to give my children contact with the devil and make provision for their precious little minds to be controlled by Satan. And you can call me whatever you want to call me. Call me anything. I don't care. But my children are protected. I'm ready for you to call me whatever you want to call me. Too strict. But you go sit down in front of ABC and Oprah and see what's happened to the children of America. And as they all sit there and get all worried about what's happened, nobody will say the one thing, why don't we get the junk out of our home? Why don't we have supervision over our children? See? Oh, well, that would be extreme. So you know what they do? One radio show, I heard the mamas call in. Yes, my children are addicted to all this stuff, but at least they're not on crack. Is that really where we're at in America? He's not shooting up yet. He's addicted to pornography and violence and gore, but he's not shooting up. Way to go, Mom. You made it in America. They're not on dope that you know of. Right now, the devil's wolves are winning. And the only way to keep from being totally destroyed is to fight. And it's past time for men to stand up and do their jobs. It's no time for passivity or fainting. Let me give you two more Bible verses, then we'll close. Job 1. It was so when the days of their feasting were gone about that Job sent and sanctified them and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and curse God in their hearts. Thus did Job what? Continually. You know what Job did? He didn't say, it may be that my children have cursed God openly with their mouths. You know why Job didn't say that? Because he watches over his home. And such an outward sin's not going to happen on his watch. But what Job could not do was entirely control the heart. So you know what Job did continually? Was got on his face before God and prayed for the heart of his children. Do you understand that? So what you can do is you can pray like never before, every day, on your face, for the heart of your children. Then you can stand up and ensure outwardly that your children do right. Do you see that? You can pray for your wife. Do you understand? A man who's the savior of the body ought to be praying for the godliness of his wife. Does God answer prayer? Is he asleep? Let me show you one more verse. Genesis 35. Then Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, in other words, you could have come along with my house, then you're going to hear what I tell my house. Put away the strange gods that are among you. That's all the mess we've already mentioned, you know. And be clean and change your garments. You know, how you dress tells a lot about what's going on in your heart. Boys that dress like punkers and rebels are already telling you before they open their mouth what's going on in their heart. So Jacob said, no more playing around. I will enforce that you dress godly. Because many times how you dress determines how you feel. People tell you all the time, when I dress a certain way, I feel a certain way. When I dress godly, I feel godly. When you dress like a thug or a pimp, you start feeling like a rebel. Do you understand that? You say, what has that got to do with a man being a protector? If all of these people, most of America now, is addicted to pornography, they already understand that you don't stay with the same class of pornography. You go, to basically get your addiction satisfied, you have to continue going down the sewer into grosser, more perverted things. Which means that there are men walking around, women too, America today, that are so grossly perverted in their mind that they have become wicked child molesters that will do very wicked things to children. Not only is it right, but a man ought to protect his daughters and his sons by ensuring that they dress in such a way that at least there is some protection from the eyes of the perverts that are out here in America today. And if you want to find out what's going, you can find the ones that have already been caught. And you can take a look at wherever you're at in your city and go online and you can see them lights light up all over. Those are the ones that got caught. How many more out there that haven't been caught yet? Where are the fathers? They're supposed to protect their families. Shouldn't you say change your garments? Oh, one more thing. Let us arise and go up to Bethel. When you get your home in order, when you instruct your home that this is what we're going to do, because it's my responsibility to protect the home. God's going to deal with me and judge me. Because we need to get this home in order, and that includes how you dress. We're going to get this thing in order, put away the strange gods. And then we're going up to Bethel, which means the house of God. You don't think God's telling you something? Do you know how many men need to get their families right now in a godly church in America? Do you know how many children? You need to go up to Bethel. You need to get your children in the house of God. And when you found a godly church, you need to keep your children in a godly church and not let yourself get distracted, because the devil's going to do it. He's going to put some independent thing in your mind and you're going to think, I'm standing for my family. And all the devil's doing is just taking you away, getting you over where he can get you separated from accountability, and then he's going to attack. So wake up, folks. Wake up and see that the devil hates the pillar and ground of the truth. The devil hates the local church, and the devil hates your family, and the devil hates God. If we're going to win this, we're going to have to stick together. We're going to have to stay in the Word. And we're going to have to become vigilant. Will you play for us, dear brother? We're going to have a time of prayer before we have lunch together. I invite